talk to me, damn it, or else I'm gonna throw you in the fire!
You like scary movies?
Ghost story and horror film addict.
Ooh, scary movie.
Welcome to Spooky Night with your favorite uncle and host, Alexis Chainsaw Massacre.
Hey y'all, welcome to Boogie Nights. This is your favorite uncle and host, Alexis Chainsaw Massacre. There are, I don't know, at least two podcasts in the studio out of four. One's buttholes in my face right now.
It's not mine.
But you know what? A potential butthole's right here. It's Bizarro, everybody. He's back.
Good evening. Good evening, family.
Good evening. So today, we had about no choice but to talk to you about Exorcist Believer.
Just out.
2 days, like what, 2 days ago or some shit?
Something like that.
Yeah, and we were the crazy ones that went and saw it within the opening weekend or whatever.
It's always fun to do that, though.
Yeah, and you know, for the sake of MoviePass, and you know, I've made my thoughts and opinions known about exorcism movies. Generally, they're not my favorite. The trailer for this one looked pretty sweet. I loved how they teased the piano, and it gave me the chills and shit. But ultimately, I knew I couldn't get my hopes up, because I know who I am.
Right. Keep expectations low.
Yes. You know, always. Plus, the other, even though his name is David Gordon Green, he's a red flag, because because he ruined Halloween. Mm. Did he not?
Oh, wait, yeah.
Yeah.
We're not here to talk about that.
Yeah. If you, I know I've talked about that on this podcast, about how, you know, last year was a special year for horror for me. I cried during Scream 5 when Dewey died. Spoiler, sorry. But then I also cried rage tears during Halloween Ends, because I'm like, this is what you do with a fucking 40-year legacy? Are you serious?
Right.
Oh my God. Like, I, whatever, but you're right, we're not here to talk about that.
So, fresh slate with this guy, give him a chance, you know?
Yeah.
Check out this movie and see what it has to offer.
Right. So, he did Exorcist Believer. The trailer looks sweet. We're huge fans of the original. Watch it every spooky season.
And it's marketed that way. You know, they use the Exorcist name, the font, the, you know, the outline, the red.
The,
you know,
theme.
You know, it's in that series. You
right.
Know, it's not another Exorcist. It's part of this world or whatever.
Yeah, and they show that Ellen Burstyn's coming back, and it's like, okay.
Makes you real curious about how they're going to use her in the movie or how she works in.
Exactly, which is interesting because I'm sure a lot of you know there are lots of spooky shits happening in the original. Linda Blair especially went through some shit, but Ellen Burstyn did too.
Real life stuff.
Yeah.
Attached to the movie.
Yeah, and so I was kind of surprised to see that anybody from that movie would be coming back due to their experiences.
Right.
So, but they show in the trailer, Ellen Burstyn's like, yeah, I'm a professional exorcist. Well, she's not, but she's like, no, I've been through this before. Here we go. But, so, I was very intrigued, but from right off the bat, I knew how to keep expectations low.
Yeah.
And thank God I did. So, let's talk a little bit about The Exorcist Believer for those of you that haven't seen the trailer. So, it starts off, these two girls that are best friends, well, even before then, it starts off in Haiti, which here's my immediate problem, was with this very first scene. This man and his wife are in Haiti. She is very pregnant.
About to pop.
Yeah. Pregnant. Which, allegedly, I've never been pregnant, but you're not supposed to fly in your third trimester.
Right. You wonder how they are there.
Yeah.
You know, if they're not citizens of, if, you know. But they're clearly foreigners photographing things on a, you know.
Yes. They're enjoying the Haitian scene. Yeah, the husband's a photographer. He's living his best life. And the wife's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to get my belly blessed by some Haitian priestesses. And an earthquake happens and everything goes to shit, the pregnant wife gets very injured. So they're in the hospital and the Haitian doctors are like, hey, you have to choose between saving your baby or your wife. We can't do both. So it flashes to 13 years later, the daughter is saved. And that was my immediate red flag. I'm like, first of all, if you're 3 months, not 3 months, if you're in your third trimester, why are you flying to Haiti, first of all?
How are you doing that?
Second of all, why the fuck would you go to Haiti? No disrespect to Haiti, but they are a third world country. They do not have the means and medical services. So, in America, or England, or whatever, both could have been saved, probably.
And the movie doesn't do anything to give you clues as to how their life has made this moment happen.
You know?
You're filling in all these holes, and there's a lot of them, in just that story. You know, it's curious, it's intriguing, but it's completely out of, you know.
Yeah.
You know. But it leaves this giant choice. Yeah, so flash forward.
13 years.
A choice has been made. The daughter's alive. And she wants to contact her mom. She's curious of her mom, you know. So her and her friend go into the, you know, make this little plan where they have a friend that's going to cover for them.
We're sleeping at so-and-so's house.
And it's pretty innocent, you know. They're just trying to, she wants to contact her mom, and her little buddy's all about it. But super Catholic friend.
Yes. You know? Well, no. Are they evangelists or some shit?
I guess they're not Catholic.
They're Christian.
That family is not Catholic, but very Christian.
They're very Christian. Like, I don't think it's the type of church where, like, they go and they hear tongues and they're speaking in tongues and shit, but it's a very Christian family for sure. It's of,
like, saved by Christ.
Yeah.
Like where you gotta profess, profess that you're saved to go to heaven. Everyone else sucks.
Right. The rest of you, fuck you. So, but the two are best friends and they're, so they go out in the woods and they do something that they see that seems to be pretty innocent. But then parents are freaking out because they're not back when they say they're going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And
search parties involved.
Yeah. And then the girls come back off. And they're in the hospital and they're getting the whole checkup. They make sure their hymen and shit is intact, for Christ's sake. But, like, they can't find anything medically off with them. But the parents are like, something's a little off.
I mean, yeah, and it's clear there, you know, something's happened.
Yes. And this isn't going to ruin anything because y'all have seen the trailers. They need an exorcism.
Yeah, you're right. They've invited something in.
Yeah, you know. Something's not right.
Right.
So, and honestly, the first half of the movie was intriguing. It kind of has like a thriller, kind of crime drama aspect to it. When the girls are missing, it's tense.
Oh yeah, and I like the story is sort of focused on the Black family.
Yeah,
and you care about them. You know, you're invested in their story above the other story.
Right.
You know,
from the get-go, and that becomes relevant later on.
Yeah,
but we don't do spoilers on this podcast.
I'm not good at that. Yeah,
so
we'll let Lex lead these.
Excuse me, but so that's it. These two girls are off. The families are trying to get medical treatment for them. Nothing's panning out. The Black dad, and I'm saying black and white because they're in like, excuse me. The Black family and the white family. I don't remember what the fuck their names are, but the Black family, they're the ones that start with the Haiti story. So obviously, like, they're the main characters. They're important. So the Black dad, you know, with this whole trauma of the mom lost, his daughter is, like, what he has. She's his pride and fucking joy.
And they have an awesome relationship. Like,
yeah.
They have a great buddy, like, a good connection as father-son.
Absolutely. I was going to say, I can relate to that. I am my father's oldest son. But...
No, they have but they do. They have a great home life, like, yeah, together.
And yeah, and that's when, you know, when she went missing.
And she's just trying to find her mom. And, she knows that
she's curious. And
her dad loves her, you know.
Yeah, so she wants to communicate with her mom because she's a curious little girl. And she's like, well, I guess I could try to communicate with spirits. And so, and during the whole process when he's trying to find his missing daughter, the cops like, oh, sorry guys, there's probably gonna be cat fights going on. Everybody go away.
Bird.
You guys are fucking dicks.
Bird and Ruckus.
Wow. This yeah. It might get kind of cool.
Get back out, ladies.
But anyway, so, you know, the cops are saying, well, sometimes kids run away. And he's like, well, that's not my daughter. And of course every parent says that. But legit, these guys are tight. Father and daughter. Yeah, they are.
Right.
But they do find their kids. And there's a whole lot of tension between the sets of parents. They had never met each other until this night. And then things are just going real wacky with the daughters. Now... and I'm calling them Black Dad and Black Daughter because I don't remember their names. And then there's White Daughter and whatever. Black Dad and Black Daughter, they have a fucking Karen-y white neighbor that was yelling at them at the beginning of the movie for not putting the trash cans in. Black Dad's like, oh, fuck y'all. I'm like, yeah, we have one of them neighbors. But she winds up being a nurse at the hospital and winds up, you know, being involved in... caring for the little Black girl. And then eventually she realizes before anybody that something's not, it's not medical. This is demonic possession. Mm-hmm. So she just casually slips the dad this book that's Chris McNeil's from the original Exorcist. Oh, she wrote a book. She's been through this. She's trying to help people. And he's like, fuck this. She said, listen, this might sound fucking crazy, but when I was in the room with her, she told me about the child that I had aborted and told me my nun name. She said I was going to school to be a nun. And
it was wacky.
Yeah, and if you think this sounds crazy, it's because it fucking is. This is the storyline.
And the reason we don't remember the characters' names is because
it doesn't matter.
The story was bad, and the way they told it to us was bad.
Yeah, and the way we're telling you, this is how it is. This is exactly what the story is.
I feel like it's more interesting to me as we're sitting here talking about
it. Right, rehashing it?
Yeah.
With our own spin?
Then, like, when we watched it, it's like, oh. And they, you know, tried to piece it, and yeah, the whole cameo thing, just to make it part of that universe and nothing. It was real obvious and real. It was weak, you know. It felt
And that's what this is all coming to. And like this neighbor that's a Karen is like, oh yeah, I was gonna go into the nunnery, but I had indiscretions and I fucked this dude, and then I was pregnant and I got rid of the baby. And but your daughter knew what my baby's name was, what my nun name was going to be. Nobody knew that. That's how I know something's going on. So she just casually slips dad fucking Chris McNeil's book from the first one.
Lame.
So then dad eventually...
Somehow she's involved as an expert.
Yeah. And so there's YouTube clips of, oh yeah, since Reagan was possessed, I decided I want to try to help out the world. And so I studied exorcism in every religion, and I wrote this book, but it pissed Reagan off so bad that she has not spoken to me since.
And I just need to see her. I need to see her with my own eyes.
Yeah.
And they name dropped Reagan like 30
times. A bazillion times.
Within 10 minutes, you've heard someone in the movie say Reagan. It's silly because you notice it. Like, it's... you notice how many times.
And honestly, I feel like this is the part where I'm going to cut off telling you what happens the rest of the movie because okay. no. But that's how, like, okay, so Chris McNeil gets involved.
Because no spoilers.
Very underwhelming. They don't introduce her well. I remember seeing her in the trailer and getting excited. I'm like, first of all, this bitch is like 90 years old. The fact that she's still alive, the fact that she still wants to be a part of this movie despite the horrors that she's faced, not as much as Linda Blair, but they all had some fucked up shit happen to them on that set and then afterward. So it's like, okay, you must have just had your will drafted up.
Right. And, I mean, it's a paycheck.
But I was excited to see her. But they really introduced her very weakly. And without spoiling the rest of the movie, even though I want to because it's not worth your time.
It's really not because,
The best I can say this, because we went with Rachel and Corey to see it, and...
Shout out!
What's up? What up, booze? And Rachel texted me yesterday, because when we got out of the movie, my initial reaction was, I don't fully know how I feel about this, but it didn't take long to digest. Ultimately, what I feel about this movie, because I went in with such low expectations, I didn't hate it. I'm not full of rage like some of the internet is right now. However, I didn't like it. The one thing I try to go into these things with, I try to go in with an open mind and realizing like, go ahead.
It just that it's all for fun anyway. Like, no reason to get pissed about something.
Right.
Like a movie, you know.
I've got pissed about movies. But,
but it's no Skinamarink, you know.
It's no Skinamarink. Shout out to our earlier podcast.
It's not great, but that's bullshit.
Yeah,
this isn't.
I wasn't furious.
Yeah. I didn't. Yeah,
they're different. But so I didn't hate it, but ultimately I didn't like it. I appreciated what they tried to do differently. Because one of my biggest hang-ups about the whole exorcism subgenre is that it's all the same shit. It's the jump scares. It's the levitation. It's the...
You want to see a good exorcism movie? Watch The Conjuring.
Seriously.
That's good shit. That is great. That is great.
Yeah. And we just watched it... Well...
I mean, it is fresh on my mind. That's why I'm thinking about it. But, like, also, we just watched it because we went to see The Exorcism.
Yeah.
This latest one, The Believer. And it's a much better, it's a solid film. You know?
Yeah. And I think, as I said in earlier podcasts, one of the things that exorcism movies do wrong is they try to do too much. They try to do way too much. And I had just listened to... kind of a perspective on the original Exorcist. One thing that's missed is the fact that it's not about Reagan for the first fucking hour. It's about Father Karras and his losing of faith, and he's dealing with his mom, and he's like, I'm just not here for it. The exorcism at the end of that movie does not go well. They don't cast the demon out of Reagan. Fucking Father Karras throws himself out the goddamn window. Yes. Father Marion is murdered.
Yes.
So the whole ending of that movie is very bleak. Yes. There's nothing. But the thing that's so good about the original Exorcist, there's the backwards crab walk. There's some shit. But it's more thematic. It's not trying to do way too much. It's not trying to scare you. It's the theme behind it. And, like, is it Pazuzu that's found in Iran? Is it something in the attic? Is it the fact that Reagan and Chris aren't religious and they're in this new town? You don't know. You have no idea what really is causing all this. But everything else since then is trying to take the scare factor. And it's like, isn't the fact that you can be fucking... possessed by a demon enough? And I just feel like exorcism movies try to do way too much.
Yeah, like the story should stand.
Yeah, but with this one, it started off cool, but once they got into the meat and potatoes of the exorcism, it sucked.
And it's also like a movie of its time, in a way too. Like, it's impossible to recreate that of the time. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I don't know.
It's timeless, and with this, because my expectations were lower, I didn't hate it, but the thing that I keep having run through my head, I love Ellen Burstyn and Linda Blair. They were amazing. Ellen Burstyn being in this movie cheapened the whole franchise. It was a money grab, and I don't want to say more beyond that. You would know what I mean.
And
when
and
you
this
see
is
it.
A setup to a, another couple of movies.
Yeah, it's going
to
be a goddamn trilogy, yeah, you guys.
Which, you know, it's one of those you almost, yeah.
You don't want to support it.
Yeah, right. It because it really fell flat.
It did, and that's the thing. It's like, because all I'm going to say is they did her dirty. They did her so dirty. She came into the movie underwhelmingly. Something happens. That's it. She's in the movie for maybe 10 minutes. So if that's why you want to see the movie, don't pay for it. The only reason we went is because we have a movie pass.
And they did it. It was a marketing thing to have her in the movie.
Yeah.
To have her in the trailer to get you at the movie.
I think it almost would have been.
Otherwise, it's just another crap movie.
Yeah. And it almost would have been a mildly better movie if it didn't have Exorcist attached to it.
Agreed, yeah, for sure.
Because it was just a bunch of Reagan name
and
dropping.
And they tried to do way too much, and their story didn't.
Yeah, and
didn't feel like it fit. It was just.
No, the story was real convoluted. I did respect that they tried to do some different things, but it just ultimately didn't work. The whole thing with the two girls and their demonic possessions matching up, respect. But it didn't
work. Well, I thought
work.
That was neat. Yeah, like when we started talking about like setting up this movie, I like it. Like, it's neat, you know. And because it was like an innocent thing, all these two girls accidentally let something in, and then, but it went sideways.
Yeah,
to where you just don't. But as you're watching the movie, you don't. At least I didn't care.
Yeah, by the end, it just wasn't executed well. It had a lot of potential. I liked the thing with the two paired girls. One thing, too, I really appreciated was that, well, I shouldn't say really appreciated, but that I was trying to see where they were going. They were trying to not take a strictly Catholic approach, but they didn't do it well. It was like, we have an evangelicalist or whatever they're called.
Everything was so muddy.
Yeah, and then they're like, we have a lady that specializes in herbs. We have a lady that's a nurse that just was going to be a nun. And they were all trying to do the exorcism at once.
Like, literally at once, at the same time. They're like, we don't know what'll work, let's do it all. So they're all chanting their different things.
Yeah.
It was goony. It took away from, like, at least feeling like it was authentic at all.
Yeah.
It just felt...
And I respect what they were trying to do there, but it's like, okay, so you have different sects of Christianity and one lady that's more spiritual and holistic. Okay, cool, don't care. And the priest is such a pussy. Why are all the priests pussies? Like, oh, the Vatican told me no. It's like,
that's where the money comes from.
Right, exactly. It's like, bow down before the one you serve. God damn it. So, yeah, all in all,
it's not worth your time. Like, if you want to, check it out on home video.
Yeah.
Don't rush out to see it, though. It's not worth it.
No.
Unless you just want to see what's her nuts on
and
the screen.
Especially if there's a trilogy involved. Like, I didn't know that until after we saw the movie.
Yeah, it's like, well, I'll watch anything. Like, go ahead and see it. And like, with the movie pass, like, it benefits us to see whatever. But, like, don't spend your hard-earned money on that.
No. If you're like, oh my god, I have $13 to spare, and I want to go to the movie,
yeah,
don't go to that.
It'll be streaming somewhere if you need to see it.
Yeah.
It's something you already paid for.
It was not worth it.
No.
And
Even with low expectations, it was low.
Yeah, which I'm glad. You know, I knew from the get-go, I saw the trailer, I'm like, this looks cool, but I know.
Yeah, the trailer makes it look cool. You can edit, like, taking a shit in the morning to be really fucking, fucking cool, you know?
The best yeah. part of waking up is Arlo in your butt.
Who heard it here first?
Fuck. Yeah. So there's that. Go see it or don't. I say don't. Just wait till it comes to streaming if you're really curious.
Yeah,
the only reason we do anything is because of this movie pass. And, you know, the other pressing thing, I've honestly heard really good things about Saw X, but I haven't watched any of the Saws in a long time, and I'm not super invested in that franchise.
Yeah.
But
might be something cool to see on the big screen, though.
You know? Yeah, sure.
See how it works out.
It sounds like that's doing a lot better than The Exorcist. Some of the reviews I read for The Exorcist were a lot less kind than we're being.
Yeah, but it kind of, I don't know, like, after seeing the movie, reading some of that stuff, it's like, okay, I feel a little vindicated, and,
yeah,
like, it's okay to really not like it.
Yeah, in consideration of spoilers, something happens that I don't want to talk about at all. But it's not worth your time still. You're still going to be very underwhelmed. And it doesn't fucking matter. And this movie should not have related itself to The Exorcist at all. That's... Leave shit alone, David Gordon Green!
Yeah, he has the brown touch.
Yeah, dude. And I know Danny McBride, I fucking love you, dude.
Because you can do stuff cool and bring... Like, Scream did it cool, and, like...
Yeah.
I'm sure we'll see all of it, but we're more excited anticipating what they do with Scream than what happens with Halloween.
Yeah. Which, apparently, I don't know if you guys have heard, the Halloween rights are in a bidding war right now.
Yeah, so it's
we're gonna... Michael Myers is coming back. Yeah, so he didn't go through a wood chipper for no reason.
Yeah, whole another podcast.
Yeah, don't get me fucking started. So that's our take on that. In terms of things to look forward to, so Five Nights at Freddy's is coming out at the end of the month.
Should be fun.
It looks goofy. It's not gonna be better than Willy's Wonderland. That's my personal opinion. Oh, I'm trying to think of what else. Oh, there's a Thanksgiving movie coming out.
Oh, the Pilgrim thing. Eli Roth. Yeah, that looks fun. I mean, it looks like a legit horror movie, but also...
Campy.
In a way, yeah. Like, yeah, so I think that looks fun.
Yeah, I'm definitely ready for that. There's a couple things coming on Shudder. Another, I forget what it's called. It's a demonic possession movie, but it's Argentinian. And it's supposed to be what it was... advertised to me was the direct follow-up of The Exorcist. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. Huh. But foreign movies, I'm not trying to sound like a douche or like I'm elevated, but foreign horror movies do more than we've done, I think.
And you're also watching something, just being in another language in a different, like, in a living room in... France looks different. It's just a little bit different. You know, it's just like the whole story, it adds a lot to.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and the way a story is told and where it's told.
Yeah. Like, I understand a little bit when people don't want to read subtitles, but I also don't understand that because I have subtitles on for everything just because my auditory processing's not that good. So I read it and I'm like, okay, cool. So I read subtitles all the time anyway, so I don't know.
Well practiced.
Yeah.
Got that down.
And then there's another alien movie that's on Hulu now. I forget. It's called No One Will Save You, I think. I heard there's no dialogue. I would really like to watch that.
That sounds cool.
So there's some shit to watch. If you guys need any spooky suggestions for this month, send me a DM, slide into him on Instagram.
Get right in there.
Right, slide right in there.
Get right in there.
Look, Arlo and I maybe came up with a Halloween costume idea that'll be fun that we can you guys will probably see, but we're going to keep reviewing the movies. It definitely won't, at one point I'd like to do a podcast about my favorite subgenres of horror, my least favorite, which these guys have heard in the last couple times how much I really don't like exorcism movies. So this is kind of just falling into place.
Yeah.
All in all, I would say if I had to rate The Exorcist Believer, it's like a D plus. It's not, it didn't completely fail in my book, but it's not very good.
She's being pretty friendly. Yeah, it's a solid D. You know, if it's close to failing. There's some cool parts, but for the most part, it lacks most things.
I appreciate.
That's why, don't spend your hard earned money. If you just
we're in an economy right now.
Right. If you have lots of money to burn, go see it. Go fucking see it.
Yeah. Go pay for your whole family to see it. We don't care. But if you're like, oh, I'm living paycheck to paycheck, I can only see one movie a paycheck, don't pick this one. Yeah. Pick something else. Wait for it to come to streaming. It'll come to something that you have. Any last words, babe?
Tootie fucking fruity.
All right, guys. Stay spooky and have a beautiful Halloween.
Peace and love.
Peace.